kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. How are you?
I am hunky dory.
Hunky dory.
Everything is great. I'm doing fine. It's not bad.
No, not
it's
bad.
Great. It's fine. Yeah. It's just sunshine and glitter. Fucking everywhere.
Indeed. And background noise, because we have a bunch of guests joining us today. It's the nickname episode, as Dark Mika, Serlina, and Carnage are all here.
Hey, what's up?
How's everyone doing?
I'm not dead.
That is always a positive. That's usually Cole's answer. But...
Today is a great day for me.
Why?
So my bathroom is finally finished.
Oh, congratulations.
All the repairs and stuff to it is done. All the painting's done. All the crap that's been sitting in there. So my stepdad could work on it. It's all gone. It's nice and it's clean and it's pristine and I'm happy.
Well, that's awesome that all the crap is gone out of the bathroom. You know, had to start with the puns already because, you know, Carnage is on. Hello, everyone.
Fucking yeah.
Fucking puns.
Gotta give a quick shout out to No Time for Games with 27 month resub. Holy shit. 27 months. Can you believe the show has been around for 27 months? It's been 7 years. That's insane.
You're so old.
I am.
God.
The show's getting old. This is episode 598, which means in 1 week's time, we will be hitting episode number 600.
I thought we were already in the 600s, honestly.
Then you haven't been paying attention at all.
What is this?
Does that shock you?
How about a teaser for 600?
You know the name of the show you're on, Mika.
Teaser for 600. What can I play from George? Here's something from George from the beginning. There. I'm not going to ruin anymore. It's just noise at the beginning. So,
you'll have in addition to background static noise.
You'll have to tune in next week to hear the whole thing. It's funny, I promise you. 2.5 minutes of pure stupidity from George, and it is...
Nice.
Cole, did you listen to it?
Yes, I did.
What are your thoughts?
It's fucking fantastic.
Better than wet pancakes.
There's nothing better than wet pancakes.
There's nothing better than wet pancakes.
It's really
goddamn good.
Do you guys not know what tacos are? I mean, they're better than wet pancakes. I'm just saying.
That's reminding me of that taco song. It's raining tacos. Yeah,
we're not gonna sing that white people taco night by Lou Burger.
Oh yeah.
Everybody else is just blank staring, but trust me, it's
yep.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
All I need to tell you is go to YouTube and type in white people taco night. And if you don't laugh and you don't feel like attacked because it's you, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah. I don't know. Anytime anybody says go to YouTube and type in the beginning words white people, I am immediately nervous.
No. It's just making fun of like how we go get tacos at the store and make a big deal out of it. Taco Tuesday.
Not with all your Goya products?
Fuck Goya. I wouldn't. Goya. Yeah, it came out before the Goya thing. But
also, adobo. Oh, my God.
I'm going to miss adobo. I need to learn.
No, okay, so there's a brand called Badia. Badia. Their adobo is decent. I know because I have some of it.
What the fuck are y'all even talking about? I am so
okay.
Lost.
So,
a Bobo is a character in Double Dragon.
No.
Yes.
Not to get too political, but what had happened was the president of Goya, and for those who do not know, Goya is a fairly famous brand of like Mexican foods. It's basically a staple. Anyways,
never heard of them.
The El Presidente really? Of that company.
You would recognize it if you saw it.
Probably. He was like, yeah, the president's doing a great job and blah, blah, blah. And then people were like, well, Goya's done. Cancel Goya. So, and then, oh my gosh, was this yesterday or today? I can't quite remember. But on Twitter, the fucking president endorsing Goya, like,
which is illegal.
My mind is
yeah.
very illegal.
And yeah, no, like, it's illegal.
Like Goya beans and shit just sitting on the yeah. the Resolute desk, and he's doing that dumb double thumbs up
with that ugly face shit, of his.
That possum eating shit grin.
I don't know who in his office thought that was a good idea, because he's already been told that doing that is
they
illegal.
Don't care.
Back
no
when
one cares.
Ivanka
they
did
don't
it.
Care. Like they know that there's literally nothing that's going to happen to him for it.
Yeah.
What happens? The house goes, fuck, that's a problem. You can't do that. And so then they draft another instead of impeachment, and everybody will be like, look at them just trying to impeach Trump mm-hmm. when there's a pandemic going on. I thought you were worried about people dying. That's what you sound like, by the way, if you're a Trump supporter.
But this still doesn't explain what that Bobo or whatever it is.
Adobo.
Adobe? Adobe Photoshop?
Adobo means, I think it means pepper in Spanish. But
yeah, it's just a pepper seasoning. I like adobo sauce, which is what they put smoked chipotle peppers in. Mm. So, you know, it's just the seasoning.
I'm a poor bitch, so I just go Hamburger Helper or Ortega. That's like all I do.
Sorry, that's white people.
I was going to say Taco Bell at this point.
Well, I do that a lot, too.
That is what the whole White People Taco Night song is about. Is how we go get Ortega shells. And in my house, I would smack a bitch if they do that.
And you could all blame me for talking about food and wet pancakes again.
There's no hope with this podcast. We are never, like, we're like, it's games, fuck Trump! But, you know.
All I heard was, fuck Trump!
Yeah, that's well, the only
you
part
heard the important part.
Exactly.
There was games in there, I think.
There was games in there somewhere, but also fuck Trump.
Yeah, that's the important part.
I'll leave that to Melina.
The fuck Trump podcast.
Melina.
You just call her Melina?
Yeah, that ain't her name.
Oh, what is it? I always call her Melina.
It's
Melina. I'm just picturing Katana's twin married to Trump, and I can't take it.
Oh, my God. Well, she's been wearing a mask lately, so... And pulls it down and it's just jagged teeth and she devours people.
Fatality.
Off that part. I would rather have a whole army of Milenas than one Melania.
Yeah.
There we go. We got that out of
We don't have Melina, but we have Serlina.
Yeah, we'll have to take Serlina.
I have been known to devour things.
Oh, I'm just gonna leave my comments to myself for that one.
Tell us about this devouring that you do.
Is it after hours already? Seems a little.
Well, we're gonna hit that point eventually in the podcast.
Yeah, we'll get to SML After Dark in a couple hours, I'm sure.
We ain't getting nowhere in a couple hours. We still gonna be riding the fuck Trump train.
Yeah, pretty much.
Dude, we're still in the introduction. All right, Joe Cam, let's
go. Well,
video game, should we get to news? Should we talk news?
Man, yeah.
There was a lot of news this past week. There were two developer showcases that happened this past week as well. The Devolver Direct. Has everyone seen this?
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
I just heard a few things from it.
It should have been a requirement to watch it before you step foot
on the show. I did hear that Phil Spencer was on it, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he was. We'll go down everything that happened. They started off with a Shadow Warrior 3 trailer launching 2021 on Steam. No consoles mentioned yet, but I would assume the Series X and PS5 are going to be targeted.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Shuhei Yoshida, head of Sony, joined to introduce Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout, which is coming out August 4th on PS4 and PC. It is a multiplayer obstacle course game. It looks pretty badass, actually.
Yeah, I saw that one before. I hope that comes to Xbox. Physics-based, kind of fun platformer kind of game.
Yeah. Looks like the characters of Gang Beasts mixed with...
And Human Fall Flat?
Yeah.
As well. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So if you like that kind of physics game, it looks like you might need a PS4 or PC to play that one.
Yeah, that one maybe looks fun. Maybe
it's a timed type of exclusive or something. Maybe we'll get it later on.
It seems all of the consoles had an exclusive going on because Phil Spencer joined to talk about Carrion, which is coming out July 23rd on Xbox One, Switch, and PC, and is part of Xbox Game Pass, baby.
Nice.
10 minutes, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Is that a new record?
Yeah. No, not at all. Nowhere near a record. Like,
we really should have just had... George should have just done the intro for 600 and just yelled, Game Pass! Right off the bat. Now you're going to send a message, ain't you?
There is still time.
So Cole had this dumb idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. We'll just play that during the show. Game Pass. Right, Purnell?
Fucking yeah!
That's right, Purnell.
He's always part of the party.
Always. Right, Purnell?
Even when fucking he's not
on. I love having sound clips that no one but me can hear.
Yeah, like that new Mark Hoppus one was pretty sick last time.
That was awesome. I'm not even going to lie.
Come for the streaming. Stay for the hot takes on Wet Pancakes.
Yep, just played that.
I figured he was just going to play it. So there we go. I set him up to do it.
Yeah. Moving on, Olesia, a game for the Switch and PC coming in the fall. 2D action adventure platformer with a spear. Trailer said it was available now, but there's a Steam demo available now. No clue why the slide said that. It was just a fuck up on the show, I guess. Serious Sam 4 trailer launching in August for PC and fucking Stadia.
What?
That thing hasn't died yet?
No.
Not yet.
God damn.
There were actually a bunch of games announced for Stadia, and I was going to write them down and talk about them, but then I realized it's Stadia, and nobody cares.
None of us give a fuck.
Nobody.
At least you understand your audience and the people at large.
Yeah.
Wait, what audience?
Us, basically.
Yeah, the people on the show.
Yeah.
And then No Time in Root Beer, hanging out in chat.
Well, from how often they're mentioned in the show, they're effectively part of the show at this point.
True.
Last bit of the Devolver Direct was that there was a Devolver Land Expo, a free interactive marketing experience available free on Steam for free.
You don't say.
Yes.
Hey, Joe Cam, could you tell me the price on that marketing experience?
It's fuck you 99. Oh, Cole, you're getting set up. Cool. Rupier's asking if anyone played Ooblets.
This is going to be a long episode. Oh, I know it already.
I will tell you this. On that one. I am playing Ooblets right motherfucking now.
I knew it.
That is where we're at with Ooblets.
I would fucking hope you would have known that. Cole stated she was doing
that. But yeah, that Devolver game looks kind of cool. It's like a first-person game. You walk around and like different marketing stuff. They have videos of their games and interactive things.
No inverted controls, which has me pissed.
Oh, me too.
You know what I did, though? I installed it, and I was like, oh, I have to play that before the show. And then Joe gave me the code for Ooblets. And I never fucking launched it. Yeah, it's just been nothing but Ooblets. And then
got other games to review this episode, don't you, Cole?
Shit. legit forgot to play a game I was supposed to review on Tuesday. So, I mean.
Nice.
Yeah, that was funny.
Joe's like, did you play that? I'm like, no.
Like, you're an art snob. What did you think of the art design? And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Listen, stupid person. I don't know. Oh, wait. I'm wrong. You did give me a code.
You didn't have it installed. And I felt so bad. Like, I went to bed and I was like, fucking didn't play.
The review could just be, oh, it's just like Ooblets, but a little different.
It's funny, but everything I play just looks like Ooblets right
now. Ooblets, but like everything is different. But let me talk about Ooblets for a minute. This thing in Ooblets.
Look, you know, some things just take precedence, and that thing is Ooblets.
Yeah. But Devolver has to take precedence right now. That Devolver show... obviously, we didn't talk about all the shenanigans that took place during the show because you just need to watch the show.
Devolver doesn't fuck around.
Not at all. There were, we talked about what, amused. 6 games?
Mm-hmm.
For a 45-minute show.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
That's how much weirdness they had this year.
Mm-hmm.
They went all out, and I am excited that Don Thacker is going to be joining us very shortly on the show.
Oh, cool.
That is going to be a very fun show.
Yes, it is.
It's going to be amazing.
There was also a Ubisoft Forward event, which I thought was absolutely abysmal.
Yeah, I missed it, and I didn't hear much anyway about it. So
I had it on, and it just didn't catch my attention. And that says a lot because I like Ubisoft games.
They didn't announce a new Trials. Fuck it. That's it. I'm not watching.
They did have...
They had a new Trials track, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Giga track.
Well, technically new. Now, that track is actually in Trials Evolution, the older one on 360. Mm-hmm. But we'll have to see if this is like a remastered version or... I'm sure it's all, you know, redone.
Well, it's out now, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, I haven't actually tried it, believe it or not. I didn't get time to try that today.
What is your problem? How could you
I know. Trials thing. That
Are
I
you sick? Do? Are you feeling okay?
Right? Exactly.
I'm concerned, Scott. Yeah.
I will have to try it after the show.
Nice. But part of the Ubisoft show, they started it off with Watch Dogs Legion with a live-action style trailer, an interview segment, a long gameplay feature. They finally announced it's coming out October 29th. And then a developer feature where they said to pay attention for a boat full of cats.
And yes. At that moment, Joe had an orgasm.
I mean, I love Watch Dogs. That's going to be like a day one buy for me. I didn't like need them to gussy it up for me, though it was nice to have like a set date on when Legion's coming out.
Yeah.
I don't know, I've never personally been into the Watch Dogs series. I've always gotten them through the games with gold, and I haven't touched them yet. So I know they're not bad.
So good.
I know they're not bad games. They're just I didn't get into it.
I will say, like, Watch Dogs 2 is best played, in my opinion, with a friend. Yeah, you can get through it on your own and have a decent experience. Mm. It's better played with a friend.
Mm. So you can play the whole like co-op campaign?
Yep.
Nice. Cool.
I'll have to do that sometime.
Yeah, I played both of them solo, other than the achievements that require multiple people.
Mm.
Everyone's excitedly talking, and Dark Meek is like, I play no one.
See, Mika, you would be more excited if you played it with a friend.
That would require meeting people and knowing people and
listen,
having those friend things. And
I feel your pain. Have you listened to my reviews lately? Joe has been like, hey, play these games. Oh, great. Oh, multiplayer component. Oh, that's wonderful.
Exactly. Yeah. Multiplayer games are bad. They make me sad.
It's always good to have online and local in every game. That would be great. If in a perfect world, we would have online and local multiplayer.
Yeah.
Agreed.
But speaking of online games, the next game they talked about was Brawlhalla, which is coming to iOS and Android on August 6th, and it's going to have cross-play with everyone.
Nice.
So that's cool.
I played that a little bit. Cool. I played that a little bit on Xbox. It's kind of like a Smash Bros. Style game, but not as deep, like not too in-depth, in my opinion.
No.
Have you guys played that one?
I dabbled in it, but I haven't played a lot of it because of the microtransactions to it.
Yeah. They have like rotations of free characters and stuff, but I didn't really get into it too much.
It seems like if you miss, it's one of those games where if you missed a season, what's the point? Because you miss stuff that you're never going to get now.
Oh, yeah.
And I hate that in games.
Yep.
After that, they showed off Might and Magic Era of Chaos, some mobile game stuff I didn't give a shit about. They showed Tom Clancy's Elite Squad. It was a cinematic non-gameplay trailer, and Sam Fisher showed up at the end. And then they had to ruin it all by saying it's a mobile game.
God damn it.
Damn it. That sucks, though.
Yeah.
That's a shame. Big shame. And that's like a troll to a lot of people out there, I'm sure. It's
just really that's because they're cunts.
What, don't y'all have phones?
They can go fuck themselves.
Shut up, Cole. they had a promotional feature on Rainbow Six. They showed off a game called Hyperscape, which had a cinematic trailer, a feature. They announced it's coming free to play on PC with an open beta available now with a free 30-tier battle pass.
Yes. Okay. So. Now, this game, I'm super excited for. I've been watching my homies play it, and I'm like, ooh, this looks fun. It's, from what I understand, it's like Fortnite, but without the bullshit, but still has the verticality.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. I am excited, and I don't even like BRs. Don't like them. But this one, I will play.
Yeah, being an Xbox achievement whore and everything, I even tried it on PC with no achievements and, like, played two or three games, and it's really fun. Yeah, it's really good. I can't wait for it to come to Xbox. And I think you said it is crossplay.
Did they announce it was coming to consoles? Because the only thing I recall was that they said it was coming free to play on PC.
It is definitely. I did hear it's coming. They mentioned on a tweet that it's coming later to consoles. So we don't know exactly when, but it'll be coming.
That's good. Phil Spencer showed up on this one, too, because he's fucking showing up everywhere. He confirmed that Watch Dogs is going to support smart delivery. And then he introduced Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which finally had some in-game footage. They showed off settlement building, dual wielding, including dual wielding shields, which I thought was cool. They had massive siege assaults, and they confirmed it's coming out November 17th on Xbox Series X, PS5, Xbox One, PS4, PC, and fucking Stadia.
Wow.
All that matters is it's coming out on a relevant system. So
And Engage. Just kidding.
Oh, God. Engage.
Anyone remember that crap?
Tiger R-Zone.
Yep.
The GameCom. What other obscure systems could we talk about?
Panasonic 3DO.
Yes, the Philips CDI.
Oh, I had one of those.
Why?
Tiger Electronics.
I didn't buy it.
Game thing.
Who bought it then?
A crazy family member who didn't know what they were doing.
Wow. Do you still have it?
I have one of those as well.
Oh, I wish I did. That's money. That's my, that. You see, if I still had that, that's my PC right there.
Nice.
Are CDIs worth a lot? I didn't think they were.
I didn't know.
I mean, to the right idiot, I'm sure anything's worth anything.
True. And there's a lot of idiots out there. We know that.
I mean, how'd you get your PC paid for, Joe?
A lot of idiots. Just buying my used games.
Mm-hmm.
From an idiot who bought way too many games.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, what did you guys think of the Assassin's Creed gameplay? I kind of tuned out when they mentioned settlement building. I don't want that.
Yeah, it doesn't really interest me too much. And that's another series that I'm sure some people are going to be like, what? What the hell? You didn't play it? But I didn't play many Assassin's Creed games. I have them all in my backlog. So games with gold. There's like so many of them that they put games with gold. So I'll have to get to them sometime.
See, as someone who enjoys world building, settlement building, I'm like salivating at that. I'm like, yes, I will build the settlement. I will make it. It will be beautiful.
It will be yours.
I was looking at the gameplay and I was like, do I have to get through this to get to the settlement building? Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to keep my finger on the pulse and we'll see. I'm definitely not going to buy that one day one, though. That shit's not happening. But
I got my collector's edition pre-ordered. That's my...
Well, because of course you do.
I have literally pretty much every single Assassin's Creed collector's edition. It's been a tradition since like... Since the second game came out and I missed the collector's edition, which I ended up trading for later down the line, I was like, well, I'm not going to miss another one. Fuck it. That's going to be my my big yearly purchase game-wise. I'm going to go with Assassin's Creed and keep a tradition going. And if anyone has ever been to my house, Surly, you can attest to this. Right above my desk is all of the Assassin's Creed figures.
They are there, and they are glorious in their expensiveness.
Yes.
I don't doubt it, because the shelves in your background as well. Yeah. So I don't
see,
doubt it.
You
can
see boxes in the background. Assassin's Creed boxes are...
Sure can. Nice.
I think Syndicate is the one we imported from, like, Greece, because it had a clockwork design behind it instead of just the character in America.
Nice. Joe Cam. Yes. Tell the people what's in Valhalla's collection edition.
Oh, God, I don't know. I don't have it pulled up.
You should know.
Why should I know?
You spent money on it. You didn't already spend the money.
There's a badass statue in there. There's a steel book. There's a game. That's what I care about.
The level of disappointment. Continue.
I know, right?
Why? Like, what? What else should I care about? I don't care about, like, ooh, there's a cloth map or a lithograph. Like, that doesn't do anything for me.
If
Victor
you're gonna
X
drop, like,
subscribing for his fourth month.
This?
We got to give a shout out to Victor X. Pat, thank you so much. Pernell.
Fucking yeah.
That is right. George, let's hear you too.
What? Pancakes.
I'm just amusing myself over here. Well, let's see. The Assassin's Creed Valhalla Collector's Edition includes the game, the Ultimate Edition of the game, a 5-centimeter Viking statuette, a premium certificate of authenticity, selected game soundtrack, exclusive steelbook, the female Evior figurine, and a set of 3 lithographs.
Hmm.
Are you happy now, Surly? No.
I'm going to take that as a no.
She is not satisfied yet.
Get fucked, Joe.
She's gone quiet.
I'm very sorry. I had a mini emergency to deal with. What am I unhappy with?
Oh, he was reading you the contents of the Valhalla edition.
100% unhappy. Just
okay,
do not like at all.
Ubisoft ended their event with one more trailer. It was a cinematic trailer for Far Cry 6, which is coming out February 18th.
And
another
I still have
game.
Surprise!
Yeah,
it got spoiled, though.
It did.
So everybody was like, well.
Yeah, it leaked on, I think, Hong Kong PlayStation Network. The store page leaked.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that. And then they eventually just tweeted after that to, you know, say, oh, yeah, we're announcing it now.
Yeah. And then notably absent once again is Beyond Good and Evil 2, as well as Skull and Bones. I don't think they're ever happening.
I don't think so either, especially, you know, G and E. It makes no sense for it not to happen. It makes no sense. But they refuse to do it.
Good game, though. Classic Beyond Good and Evil. I remember that.
Yeah absolutely. But they're just like, we're actually not going to give the people what they want.
Yeah,
or we're not going to let people who weren't even alive when this game came out, we're not going to let them experience that.
Right?
No,
I know,
for
right?
What?
What the hell?
You're going to give us your money anyway. Why do we need to fulfill a promise that we made to you 15 years ago?
Yep.
Oh, man. We're never going to get that game.
I still remember that they had, there was an article like 5 years ago, one of the tops from UD, they were like, oh yeah, you know, people are buying the game and whatever. And hey, we appreciate it, but it's a little too late. I'm like, it's not too late. We want it. If people are going out there, how old is this game now? It's like 17 years old, something like that. And people are still buying it and still suffering through the horrible graphics that it has. Although it was great at the time.
I thought it looked good.
But, I mean, you know, it's got up to snuff now, but people are still going through it because it's such a great experience. And it's like it's like missing a layup. I don't understand it. I don't understand their thinking on this. And I mean, I'm just going to be quiet now because I'm going to start bringing up games that I want remastered and I want continuations of, and they're not going to do it. But I'm just going to bring up one more, and that's the cel-shaded version of Prince of Persia. I fucking loved every second of that game.
Isn't that playable on Xbox One?
Maybe.
I'm not sure.
There's so many of them on there.
And I fell in love with it, and the story was great, and they had one DLC, and they left it on a cliffhanger, and they're like, hey, you guys love this? Well, fuck you. Fuck you. And I'm like, but why?
Yeah.
Especially after the original Prince of Persia, which fell off the fucking map for me after the second one. And it's like, okay, we're gonna do some things, we're gonna make it look pretty, new people, compelling people that you actually like. Anyways, I'm sorry. That was me. I'll go quiet again.
What games does everyone else want remastered? Because personally, I would love to see Def Jam Fight for New York come back.
Oh, yeah. I never played that, but I heard good things about it.
You know.
I was thinking... Go ahead.
I'd like the original Dot Hack games.
Yes, me too!
And the Xenosaga trilogy. And I want it to be expanded to all seven, because there originally was supposed to be seven games, and then they turned it into a fucking trilogy, and that still makes me sad.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to expand it to seven games.
Yeah, never.
No.
Oh, Mika, the original Dot Hack games, I had all four of them. I had...
I still have all four of them.
Nice. They're worth money, you know. Anyways.
Yeah, $180.
Oh, I love those games.
Yeah, I have the GU series as well.
Enough for a third computer.
Actually, if I sold those, I probably could get a decent computer if I sold all seven of those discs.
Well, let me tell you about this website called Mercari.
I'm never selling them. I love those games.
I actually had my first transaction go awry on Mercari. I sold my Legend of Zelda Collector's Edition strategy guide set that's like 30 fucking pounds. And this person got it. It was like heavily bubble wrapped, so it was protected very well. And they decided that they changed their mind.
Damn.
So they initiated a return. It's coming back to me. I don't know if I'm going to get a negative on this transaction. I don't know what's going on, but this person is on my shit list.
I bet you some of the books are going to be gone.
Oh, if anything's missing, I'm filing a dispute.
Damn straight.
If anything at all is missing, because then I can't resell it. Sons of bitches.
Oh, yeah.
Game Pass. A lot of Game Pass news this week.
Hell yeah.
Is that good or bad?
Pretty good stuff, in my opinion.
Pretty
it simply
good.
It is, Mika.
It is mostly good news. There are three games that are leaving Game Pass, so we'll talk about those first. The Banner Saga 3 is leaving PC and console. Rime is leaving PC and console, and then this one's a hard hitter. Ashes Cricket is leaving console.
No, not Cricket.
Yeah,
everyone loves Cricket.
I know it's, so I have I a funny story about Cricket, actually.
Oh God!
Fuck. I mean, I'm not going to tell it; it will be lost on all of you. But yeah.
All I did was load up that one time and didn't know what I was doing and got a Game Pass quest done, but that's all I know about Cricket.
Of course you did it for a Game Pass quest.
Right?
but there's a lot of new additions coming to Game Pass. July 16th this week, we are getting Forager on console and PC, as well as Mountain Blade Warband on console. Next week, on July 23rd, we're getting Carrion on both console and PC, as well as Golf with Your Friends on PC. July 28th, we're getting Grounded on both console and PC, and it's going to be a game preview game. And then on the 30th, we're getting Nowhere Prophet on both, The Tourist on both, and Yakuza Kiwami on both. And if you noticed, everything but Mountain Blade Warband is launch direct to Game Pass.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Now, of course, there's all the people that like complain about everything that say, oh, they're all indie games. They're all pieces of shit. Where's the big games? We only got Yakuza, whatever. That's like, you know what I mean? Some of those people, though, they're always so narrow-minded. So
yeah, people are dumb.
Yeah. Yep. People and this is their dumb. Chance. They have Game Pass. They have access to all these games, yet some people just want to hate.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense. They're missing out.
Something else coming to Game Pass, Microsoft Flight Simulator finally got a release date. It is hitting PC on August 18th, and it is being reported that the European retail version of the game contains 10 dual-layer DVDs.
Wow. For that real, authentic flight experience.
Does well, that mean somebody's collecting them here?
Well, it's like a 90-gig game, something crazy like that.
Damn.
Yeah, you'd think they would just, like, ship it on a Blu-ray.
Right? Yeah, that'd be the smart thing to do.
But I guess not enough people have Blu-ray drive. Then again, my new computer doesn't have a drive at all.
Yeah, newer ones, they don't. They're like, nope. You don't even own DVDs. And I'm like looking at all the DVDs that I own, wondering how I'm going to watch them. It's interesting times.
I bought a CD and someone was like, oh, can you rip the bonus tracks out of there for me? I'm like, no, I can't. I can't help you. That's not going to happen. That's not a thing that can happen right now. But a lot more Microsoft news. They have confirmed that they are discontinuing the Xbox One X and the Xbox One S all digital edition to prepare for the Series X. The Xbox One S will continue to be manufactured and sold. Makes me wonder why they're killing the X and not the S.
That's what I wondered. What was
Because they took the concept of, oh, every granny is going to get confused by the Series X and the X1X, and that they decided, well, maybe that could possibly happen, so let's just nip that in the bud.
That's a good point, actually. I was thinking that, too. Like, people that don't know about games, you know, gaming, they're just going to get their kid, or like you said, someone, a significant other, or whatever, something that's an old generation game system.
Yeah, my grandparents would do it.
Yeah, yeah. So, makes sense.
My mom would do it, even, for fuck's sake.
And of course, they want people to buy the higher end new system than rather the, you know, higher end old system, I guess. So.
Well, there's still plenty of rumors that we're going to get a mid tier Series S as well. So who knows what we're going to get?
Jeez, mid series alphabet wars.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know.
Yeah, I would like it if they would have just named their consoles like PlayStation did, you know, like people who have a brain.
Yeah.
One, exactly. Two, three fucking numbers exist for a fucking reason.
Well, to be fair, the new Xbox is just Xbox, and Series X is just like a modifier that for branding and marketing.
And what was the very first Xbox called?
Yeah, oh, yeah, we know.
Right. Xbox.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you're not going to go to Walmart and be like, I want an Xbox, and expect them to hand you one from the original.
This is true. Mm-hmm. But still, they should just fucking
agree.
One, two, et cetera, et cetera. It's just,
yeah.
Well, how else are they going to differentiate themselves from PlayStation?
They have to be different.
Actually, the rumor has it the reason why they went from an Xbox to an Xbox 360 was because the PlayStation 3 was coming out. And since that was their second system, they didn't want to be like, oh, this is the Xbox 2, because it would make them look worse.
Oh, that's
so they named it the 360, so it would both have 3 in the name to make them look like they were on even ground, so people would be more likely to buy the 360.
They should just take the Nintendo route and give it weird, fucked up names all the time.
Which works 100%. Yeah. I mean, can I make like a marketing pitch while I'm talking? Like, developers and all of these game companies, if you need a person to help you understand the average person as well as the gamers, like, hire me to come up with names for your dumbass shit, because these dumbass names that you have simply just do not work.
There you go. Yep.
Speaking of dumbass names, they announced that Project xCloud will not be called Project xCloud.
And who would have thought of that?
Yeah, and it will be hitting Ultimate or Game Pass Ultimate members for free starting in September.
That's good news. That's pretty awesome.
Oh, hey, I have that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
Game Pass is such a bargain.
Game Pass is such a bargain. Ultimate is for $15 a month where you get Game Pass, Game Pass PC, all these Ultimate perks, Xbox Gold privileges, games with gold.
Yeah.
Why? Like, it's $15. Why wouldn't you do it?
Did you see, though, that you can no longer buy a year of Xbox Live?
Yeah, yes, I did see that.
Wait, and I was kind of hurt.
You can't buy it by the year anymore.
Why not?
Oh, that's so they Xbox want you to buy Gold. Ultimate.
They want you to buy,
Ultimate, yeah. And of course, it's more expensive when you buy it in lesser increments. So
I'm kind of curious if that's not because they don't plan to just phase out Gold completely.
I'm thinking too the same.
If they do that, I'll be extremely happy and I'll start buying the fucking Game Pass without a doubt.
And another thing that I'm kind of speculating is that once they run out of 360 games, apparently, you know, eventually there's so many only that are on back compat, they're going to start putting more Xbox One games or maybe Series X games later on Games with Gold. So
I'm sure we'll get Series X games on Games with Gold.
Yeah, but like
not
I wonder
if they get rid of Gold.
True.
Oh, I mean, if they integrate that into Ultimate Game Pass or whatever, but we'll see. We'll see what they do from there.
I would love it if they got rid of Gold.
Oh, why?
That'd make me so happy, because then I wouldn't have to pay for it anymore. And then I could, you know, pay for a Game Pass instead.
Well, okay.
Just get Game Pass Ultimate.
The money for one.
But
get Ultimate.
When Game Pass first started, you were able to basically roll your account over for like a dollar. What happened?
I did it too. A lot of us did it, I think.
Yeah, because I did it.
Definitely. For like
I still
3 years.
A whole nother year's worth.
Yeah, that was an awesome deal. Like, they definitely wanted to get people, you know, right into it right away, which was a good idea. Mm-hmm. So,
like, I'm seeing in the chat right now, Rootbeer's like, he bought his for a dollar until 2022. And I'm like, how did y'all get it for 3 years? Because I only got mine for a year.
Because you were able to stock up 3 years of gold. Then you could convert it all over.
Exactly. Okay. So your maximum is 3 years. You can't go higher than that. But if you had 3 years of gold, it would transfer to 3 years of ultimate.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. I was confused because I was like, wait a second.
Yeah, basically people would buy 3 years of live and then convert for a dollar, and they're like, oh, I got 3 years of Ultimate for a dollar. It's not, no, you got it for $181.
Right.
Some sad news, Xbox confirmed that the Series X will not in any way support the Kinect.
Good. Fuck the Kinect.
Yeah.
I love my Kinect.
It was
okay. I love my Kinect theirs. We can never get rid of our fat Xbox One because the girls will cry over their Kinect.
The Kinect is really the PlayStation Vita of Xbox. If it were actually supported, it would have been so fucking awesome. They refuse to do it, and it's just, it's sad face.
It was ironic, like, one of the indie game developers, remember, they kept putting Kinect games out? They were
Virtual Air Guitar Company. They came on the show a couple times.
Yeah, it was kind of fun, you know, something different and unique, so it would have been nice to have actual big games with Kinect, but they didn't have many.
The Vita's a good comparison, because the Vita was an amazing system, but Sony gave up on it, and I think the Kinect could have been really good, but Microsoft just gave up on it. They dropped it and washed their hands of it, and they're like, fuck it, we're not going to do this anymore. And Sony was basically the same with the Vita, where they're like, fuck it, we're not going to do this anymore.
See, but that's interesting, because I'm used to Sony giving up on things. I am not used to Microsoft giving up on things. And like
Mixer.
Well,
exactly my point.
Windows Phone.
Fable Legends.
Scale down. Fable. Yeah, we got a laundry list.
There's a couple.
It's just sad.
Yeah. Also sad, Remothered Broken Porcelain has been delayed from August down to October 20th, just in time for Halloween. Cole, I know you're sad about this one.
Yeah.
I still have to play the first one.
I just finished the first one. Cool. It's good. It's
and it's
doesn't make any fucking sense, but it's good.
Did you get the 1,000? I think it's an easy completion too, right?
Oh, yeah. It's super easy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Took me 2 sessions in order to beat
it. It's not bad.
It's pretty good. Nice and short.
My audio is cutting out. I don't know if it's Skype doing it or what.
I don't know. Everything seems fine for me, and that's all that matters, really.
Yeah. It fucked me.
Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles Remastered will not have any offline multiplayer.
That's dumb.
Strange.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
Very.
Because that's also how that game started. And like, I'm, you guys remember?
I'm still on the cusp of pre-ordering it, though. I'm right there, like,
I mean, you have a Switch now, so you can.
I do, but I really fucking hate playing a Switch. I can't put my finger on why or what it is. It's just me and the Switch.
You need a pro controller.
Maybe.
You but need Crystal a normal Chronicles pro could controller.
Turn it around.
Maybe. That could be the one. Final bit of news that I have is that Tiny Build announced that they have acquired the development team behind Hello Neighbor from Dynamic Pixels. The new team will be called Eerie Ghost Studios.
I'm down for that.
They're really into digging Hello Neighbor into the ground.
Yeah, I heard they're up to like a, I think it's on, I don't know if it's on Steam or they're talking about it. I heard something about Hello Guest. Have you heard about that one?
I've heard about a TV show and just did.
Oh, yeah.
They're something really throwing show. Their weight into the Hello Neighbor.
Yeah,
cinematic universe.
Kids are buying that shit up. It's popular on streaming, so.
That's true.
Am I the only one who actually likes Hello Neighbor here?
Oh, I don't hate it. I'm not.
I've never played it.
It's just not my kind of game.
It was my kind of game, but I just couldn't get into it. It didn't do it for me. Can't put my finger on why, but it just.
One of them is on Game Pass, if not the other ones. I know the multiplayer one's on Game Pass. That one I actually enjoyed, completed it too. It was kind of fun. Secret Neighbor, that one?
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm excited for this partner. Well, I don't know if I should call it a partnership since they were acquired, but I have hopes for it. I probably shouldn't have hopes because Lord knows it, nothing will come of it for another 3 to 5 years, but I still have hopes.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I have faith in Tiny Build. They, you know, they put out a lot of good games and they know what they're doing. So hopefully.
Yeah. I trust in Tiny Build. They know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's the news I have. Any news anyone else want to talk about, or should we jump into the reviews? Cause we've got a bunch of them.
Can I mention something?
Sure.
Yep.
Okay. So we were talking about Ubi earlier, right? And as y'all know, I am on the Twitters very, very much. And they made a Twitter post about women in gaming. And it was like a panel of 32 white males, which is like really, really funny. And wow. I just want to say, if you want to talk about women in gaming, please have at least 2 women on your panel.
Yeah,
exactly.
You must have 2 times the boobs in order to give some legitimacy to this.
Yep,
makes sense. They completely missed the mark on that. And I don't understand why. Certainly they could have gathered 2 receptionists. I mean, I just don't.
Yeah, I heard a similar thing, unfortunately, from another podcast or video or something a while back where it was like a thing about talking about, you know, like black equality and stuff. And they hadn't like hardly any black people on the show. It was like, how are you going to get your point across? You know, it doesn't make sense.
I can just imagine a whole bunch of sexist assholes being like, get one of them broads with the titties in here to talk about her opinion.
And you know what? Even if they had done that, I would have eaten it up. I'd have been like, oh, look, a girl who actually works there. Yes, right? Okay. She knows. But again, it can't be one. It's got to be at least 2.
Mm-hmm.
Just
got to pass the Bechdel test.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Well, it only passes the Bechdel test if they don't talk about any other dude, which would not happen.
Yep. They can't talk about you have to have 2 women, and they can't talk about a man.
2 and that has named women. Yes. Named women.
Yes. And they can't.
Woman number 1 and woman number 2.
Yeah. It's a pretty specific little test.
Yeah.
And like 95% of media fails it.
Yeah.
Probably even higher than that.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting this week.
Mm.
You see that a lot, though. Like, I see it and I'm just going, yeah, that seems about legit. It's pretty much what I expect.
Which is sad and awful.
I think the fact that we even need women in gaming initiatives is problematic. Like, we let it get so fucking bad that we have to do a whole fucking initiative for the obvious.
Now, see, I wonder about that. Did we let it get bad?
We didn't.
When I say we, I mean the gaming community as a whole. Right.
This is our fault directly. This is entirely the fault of the SML podcast. I take full responsibility.
I just want to specify, I was not a part of the committee that made this decision. But, I mean, we've talked about it before, being how, you know, when it boiled down to rebranding the Nintendo, was it going to go in the boys section or the girls section? Mm-hmm. And they chose boys. And so that's been a decision that has permeated the community as a whole.
Yeah.
And it's been so, so ingrained into what gaming is. We have a whole generation of girls who thought they just shouldn't even touch a controller.
Mm-hmm.
And let alone be in a place of employment. Like,
it works. It works the other way around too. Like, I would be frowned upon if growing up, if I said I liked My Little Pony.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
it does.
I mean, well, maybe
like my dad had a horse. I just wanted a horse doll.
The thing with that is that's because men are taught that girls' things are bad. That there's a negative to feminine traits.
Yeah,
you see how that works out?
Yes.
Right.
So it's not like boys can't do this. It's boys shouldn't do girl things because girl things bad for boys.
No.
And it's a little more nuanced than just you have a vagina and you can't do that. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's still problematic. But that's the thing. Like when Serlina and I talk about feminist issues and we say, you know, this is a problem in the gaming community, we're not saying men don't suffer from similar issues. What we're saying is the way that women are treated also affects and limits men as well.
Oh my gosh, 100% cool. Mm-hmm. People do not realize that not having diversity, like actual true diversity,
hurts everyone.
No.
It hurts everyone.
Like, there should be no fucking problem with a little boy picking up a My Little Pony. Fuck it. If I'd had a son, he'd have been drowning in Care Bears. I don't give a fuck, you know?
Care Bears stare,
cool. Yeah, buddy. I love Care Bears growing up.
And you should. And that's fine.
Yeah.
But society works against that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole, you know, when we talk about, you know, feminism in gaming, that's where we're standing. We're like, this is bad for everybody. Like, there are dudes who would give really shitty monologues if you sat up and said, Joe, I love Ooblets. It's my favorite game, right? Because it's already been marketed and, like, it's just very much got that tone that it's geared for girls.
Really? I don't see it that way.
Yeah.
I thought it was like more for kids and family, like that type of game. But
I didn't see Ooblets geared as a girls game at all. I just saw it geared as a family game.
Yeah, I was thinking more family.
They're not like particularly marketing it that way. But take a look at who's playing it, who's streaming it. How many male accounts have you seen them retweet saying they're playing it?
Yeah, but that's the ones they
out of every 10 or so. But I mean, you can even just scroll through Twitter or through Twitch. You're going to see more females than men. And that's because it's got that syrupy, saccharine, goofy appearance to it that men are going to be like, oh, I can't be seen playing that. I'm going to go play Call of Duty. You know?
I mean, I don't know. How about Animal Crossing? Don't a lot of guys play that? And that's geared towards both, right? I would say.
Animal Crossing probably does a little better a job of like smoothing the quality lines between.
Because it seems like the same, kind of, right?
And it
like
has, it has definitely like managed to blur that with Crossing. But again, like I said, Ooblets has more of that saccharine. Mm.
The combat if you're going to talk about Ooblets, should I just do the intro? Should we get into these reviews?
I just wanted to talk about
it. Great segue, Joe, as usual.
One more thing. I just want to say that right now the podcast is doing its part with equality and diversity because there's more vaginas on here than there are penises right now. So, boom.
They're beating us, Joe.
Yeah. I mean, if you back up, I mean, we're doing really well on the equality front, and
yeah.
Hey, there were days where I was the only boobs on this show, and it was problematic. We've come a long way.
Yeah, drop it, awesome.
More boobs, the merrier.
That's right. Boobs for life.
We're improving.
Well, I gained a couple pounds during the quarantine, so I guess I have boobs as well.
Hey, I've had boobs since the beginning, so I don't know what anyone's talking about here.
Hey, we've had plenty of boobs on here.
Okay, then let's scale it down. There used to be more penises.
That's better. That makes more
this
sense.
This show used to be a total motherfucking sausage fest.
That's how the show started. It was three guys talking about video games.
Exactly. But don't you appreciate that you get some different perspectives now that you have a more diverse crew to
You made the show longer, but...
Staying with the negative.
Yeah, I mean, before, there were just so many dicks, right?
So many.
There were dicks flowing everywhere. Like, I would take a drink and there were dicks coming out. Speaking of dicks, we should get to reviews. It's been about an hour. We got to get into reviews. We have a lot to talk about still.
All right, let's do it.
First game is a preview of the game Ooblets, developed and published by Glumberland. It released July 15th on Xbox One Game Preview and on the Epic Game Store for $24.99. Ooblets is a farming, creature collection, and town life game where you build up your farm, befriend townsfolk, grow ooblets, and have dance-offs. Cole, tell us about Ooblets. I know you've been waiting for it.
Oh, I get to talk about Ooblets.
Strap in, everyone.
Thanks to No Time for the biddies. We played the sound earlier, but thank you, No Time.
And I don't have to talk about the Epic Game Store meltdown that was surrounding Ooblets. This time I get to talk about Ooblets and I get to talk about how it didn't fucking let me down. And I'm so happy for this. Look, I've been following Ooblets' Twitter account for years. I have wanted this game for a long fucking time. No, Aki, what you saying I'm sorry for?
Because you were following it for years, and you're just now getting to play it. That's miserable.
Well, it was constantly seeing delays and stuff. But it's a game made by a small team. If I'm not mistaken, it's just the husband and wife team that work on it.
I believe
may be some extra people who have come in for a little bits here and there. But generally, the development team is just the husband and wife team, and they've gone through a lot. They were picked up by Double Fine that Xbox bought?
Yep.
Okay, so they were picked up by Double Fine as publishers for Ooblets, and then Double Fine got bought by Xbox, and Ooblets didn't get to go with them.
Well, I think Ooblets made the call to pretty much buy themselves back.
I don't know, you know, what the whole specifics there were, but they did not go along with the purchase. And so they stayed, and then they ended up getting picked up as an Epic exclusive, which was vital for the game's development. They needed that funding after they lost their publishing deal.
I thought the Epic thing came first.
No. Hmm. Nope. That was after 92% sure that was after the Double Fine purchase. Go Google it. Tell me I'm wrong. I don't give a fuck. Anyway, Ooblets. So the game is like Stardew Valley, My Time at Portia, and Pokemon had a fever dream love child and dumped pastel paint on it and then was like, this is Ooblets.
Mm.
Are you following me? Can you have this image in your head?
I can dig it.
That's where we are. Okay? So the whole premise is your life has been a big old toot. Right? You live on an island where you don't even have any Ooblets. But there's another island called Badgetown. Badgetown, does have ooblets. So you decide that since your life has been such a toot, you're going to tell it nicely to screw off. And I would love to say I'm making that up, but that's literally what it says on the opening scene. Your life has been. So you decide to pack up. I can see Joe feverishly Googling over there.
I'm not feverishly. You are right, by the way. The buyout did happen, and then it was the exclusive.
I know my ooblets, Lord Joe.
I wasn't anyway, doubting. I just wasn't sure. Chill. Calm your tits, woman.
No, my tits cannot be calmed. Ooblets. Okay. Anyway, so basically, your life's been a toot. You pick up and move to Badgetown because you think ooblets would make your life less of a toot. You get to Badgetown, and the mayor is Mayor Tinsel, and Mayor Tinsel says, well, here, we'll give you this old farmhouse, but you're going to have to do some shit around the place for it. Not with that language because it's family-friendly game. But that's the premise.
This is the most mature thing ooblets has been involved with in a long time.
And so the whole, it's very Animal Crossing in that regard. Or not Animal, yeah, Animal Crossing. So you have your farmhouse, it leaks, you got a cot, you got a suitcase, you got a camp stove. That's it. They give you a garden hoe. I had to specify it was a garden hoe because I know if I just said hoe, one of y'all would have said something.
Exactly.
A garden hoe.
Save me the pun, right?
Yeah.
Spare me the pun.
Fuck on out of here. I'm carnage.
No fucking puns. Eternals. Ooblets review.
I am carnage proofing myself. So they give you a garden hoe, and then you have a plot of land that you can till, and that's your life. You need the weed shit. You need the chopsticks. But the beauty of it is that there are ooblets all over town. And ooblets are these little, like, plant, animal, sometimes robot creatures that are just everywhere. They're just fucking everywhere. You can even wish more of them into existence. If there are not enough ooblets for you, you can earn wishes by doing things for people. And when you got 100 wishes, you can say, give me more ooblets. And then poof, there's more ooblets around. It's brilliant. Never going to run out of ooblets. Here's the thing. If you want to add an ooblet to your crew, what you need to do is find a group of wild ooblets and have a dance battle. Okay? You keeping up with me?
Okay.
So we got our farming. We got our Animal Crossing-ish, gotta save our farmhouse type shit. Gotta save the town. And we got dance battling. There's no combat, though. It's family friendly. Remember? Gotta be good for all ages. So your combat and your dance battles are played out like card games. Think Slay the Spire or
oh, nice.
Think Pirates Outlaws. So you have your cards, and each round, when it's your turn, the cards are dealt out. The types of cards you have are dependent upon the types of ooblets you have in your crew. Some of them have different abilities. Some can stun, for example. Some can give you hype so that your cards are worth more when you do certain dance moves. Some of them, I think I mentioned some of them can stun. Some of them could give you extra beats. So your action points are your beats, right? Because it's a dance battle. So the more hyped you get everybody, the more your points, more points you get for doing a move with the same amount of beats. The goal is that there is a bar on each side. And of course, all the ooblets are dancing around because it's a dance battle. And there's a bar with a set point goal that you need to get to win the battle. So when it's your turn, you might put down a card that uses two beats, but will give you, if you have a couple of hype, might give you 11 points and your goal is 20. So, but then you have to be careful because the next turn, when it's the enemy ooblet's turn, then they can steal your points if they've got the card for that, or you can steal theirs. So you have to actually, you know, card battle it out for these dance battles. And it's brilliant. The music is just fucking incredible. The animations for the little dancing ooblets, I swear I just want to sit there and watch them dance and go, oh my God, why are they so cute?
Yeah, it is an adorable, adorable game.
It's the best thing ever. I'm telling you.
Yeah, like, it looks pretty chill.
everybody looks they're all just dressed like they're ridiculous clown people. There's literally the former mayor, and he looks, his name was Taffy, and he looks literally like a clown. And they're all incredibly goofy. All of the dialogue is very saccharine and silly. Like, you don't say yeah, you say yeah. And I just get overwhelmingly tickled. It's like, do you want to do this? And then your boxes are nah and yeah. And like, the answer is always yeah.
Sounds like they're running up the stairs panting.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
you could do it. Yeah.
And then if you win your dance battle, you get a seed for the ooblet that you originally challenged. You take that back to your farm, you plant it, you keep it moist, it grows, everything has a time limit for how many days it'll take, it grows, and then you can now add that ooblet to your crew and use it in dance battles, and then you get to level it up and unlock more powerful cards as they level up. You can swap them around. Sometimes you can't always take your whole crew into a battle, so you got to decide which one am I going to use, who's going to have the cards that are most useful for this. So you got to learn like what the other ooblets are going to have just as much as what you have. You can also put ooblets to work on your farm, which is a little questionable. I grew you from a seed. Now stand here and chop this corn.
You know what I was going to say that reminds me of? And I'm wondering if it reminds you of Keflings at all.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun, chill game. It reminds me of that a little bit just from seeing those creatures.
But every time I do it, I feel bad. And then like I release them from whatever they're working on as soon as they're done. Because I'm like, go follow me around and have dance battles. I just feel guilty leaving one stuck there grinding corn all day.
Well, then just grab one of the robot ones. It's a robot. It's fine.
Yeah, I don't know. I still feel bad. It's because you have to have, you can't just approach anyone that you were come across and challenge it to a dance battle. You have to actually have certain ingredients to prove you're high enough level to actually go into a battle with that one.
Oh.
So, like if you don't know how to make a tart or a carrot cake, then which is essentially just a carrot cupcake, then and whatever ooblet you're trying to battle requires one or two of those, you can't do it. You can pet it, but you can't actually battle it.
Mm.
Overall, it's super saccharine. It's super silly, but I'm absolutely in love with it, and my 4-year wait has been justified.
Nice.
It's in game preview mode, so there are still some bugs. I was actually streaming it last night. I streamed it for like 2 or 3 hours. I took a break in the middle to play some Warzone, and then I was like, okay, that's over with, back to Google.
See, that's when you know Eternal loves the game, because there's no achievements yet. It's game preview, and she's still playing it for fucking hours.
There are no achievements yet, but I was 100% ready to just break my neck to get back into it.
Nice.
I did have an issue. You, like I said, you do have to go around and like collect items and stuff so that you can unlock different buildings and gain access to them, or you can even repair a hot air balloon and travel to different worlds where there are different ooblets at. But the one thing that I had an issue with was the dance barn. And when I was streaming it last night, I went into the dance barn and I signed up for a dance tournament, and then everything turned blue and I could hear the music, but I could see nothing. And nothing happened. But I turned it off when I launched it again this morning. It launched fine. I was standing in the barn. I hadn't lost anything. There was no punishment or anything for what had happened. It was just like, well, that sucked. Let's go. Like, nothing happened.
That does suck. And it was punishment because it was blue blitz.
I think that's called now.
Exactly. Okay. See you later, guys. No.
But if the question is, should we buy ooblets, the answer is fuck yes.
Yeah, nice.
Absolutely.
I like how you saw me face-palmed so hard from Scott that you didn't even wait for me to ask you.
He's busy right now.
I was like, he needs to recover.
I need my recovery time.
Why do we allow him on the show again?
I will say, I was streaming it last night, there was somebody that was hanging out with me and watching it, and I was having such a good time with it that they turned around and bought it. And when I got up to go get a drink, and I come back and my Xbox was idling, and I could see that they were playing the game at the same time. I was like, yes.
Sweet.
Spread my
got them sale.
Spread.
Boy, so, yeah.
Absolutely. If you enjoy any kind of Stardew Valley or even Pokemon or My Time at Portia, Animal Crossing, anything like that, you're going to have a good time with Oops too.
Cool. Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next game to talk about, we're not going to talk about because Surly's computer froze.
Oh, no.
If you were wondering where she went. She's not available right now, but thank you, No Time, for the 33 biddies, George.
Drop it, bits!
All right, so we'll move on. Next game to talk about is called Neon Abyss, developed by Vivo Games, published by Team 17, released July 14th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $19.99. Neon Abyss is a frantic roguelike action platformer where you run and gun your way into the abyss, featuring unlimited item synergies and a unique dungeon evolution system. Each run diversifies the experience, and every choice alters the rule set. Cole, tell us about Neon Abyss.
So, Neon Abyss is a roguelike in the same vein. I always feel bad when I play games and then I come on the show and I'm like, it's just like this. But in this case, in Ooblet's case, sometimes that's just the best way to describe it, because otherwise it sounds like I'm talking out of my ass and it's indescribable, right?
I do the same thing, though.
I feel so bad about it, but it's the best I can do to really get it across to people who I think would enjoy it. So with Neon Abyss, I would say it's kind of Exit the Gungeon.
I was thinking the same.
But it's on a 2D plane, so that's why I say Exit the Gungeon versus Enter the Gungeon. It's a little more in that same kind of element. It's also got some platforming elements to it, which is kind of unusual for a twin stick roguelike like this. Everything is super grungy with the neon aesthetic, because, you know, Neon Abyss. And 110% I was down for it. This was one of those weeks where I had multiple games in different genres that I super enjoyed, and I was like trying to evenly split my time. Where I'm like, Ooblets, Neon Abyss, and they're so very different. But I was like, I'm in the morning or late at night, I'm in the mood for Ooblets. In a day when I got a little more energy, I want to slaughter shit in Neon Abyss. So this is where, like, everything else, I don't know if I even played the other shit you're going to ask me about.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I played some of this Neon Abyss as well, and it seems pretty fun. Obviously, twin sticks, so I was all up for it as well. Yeah. And definitely, like you said, vibes from... I haven't played Exit the Gungeon, but yeah, Enter the Gungeon, on a 2D platform.
Exit the Gungeon has that more verticality effect to it. Like Exit the Gungeon, like, scrolls a lot and really pushes a more fast-paced gameplay. Whereas, despite that verticality, Neon Abyss still gives you more control over the speed of the gameplay. I prefer it, honestly. Because I don't feel like I'm being, like, constrained to play the game in such a certain way. Neon Abyss is more like, good luck. And get through it however you want. And it has an easy difficulty, and I can never be mad at that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I only tried on easy, and I was even having trouble, believe it or not, at some parts. Yeah.
Even on easy, it's still going to be tough. I think, though, it's rewarding as it is. Even though it is so tough, at least on my first run, I made it to level 5.
that's better than me. You kicked my ass. Because at least
on Gungeon, you aren't getting that far on the first run.
Yeah, the other thing that's cool is they give you permanent progression right away, too. Like, right after you die, you don't just lose everything. You actually can, like, upgrade stuff, right?
There's actually two benefits to that, because in addition to the permanent progression, when you unlock a new permanent item that can show up in the game, it gives you a free trial run.
Yeah, I saw that.
So you can unlock it and then immediately take it back out and try that item that you just purchased.
That's cool.
I like that, because too many games, you'll unlock a bunch of cool shit and you'll never run across it in game.
Mm-hmm. Or you run across it and then die right before it. And fuck, I got to start over.
Another area that I really appreciate in Neon Abyss over a lot of other roguelike twin sticks like this is that the items, they're shit tons of them, okay? And it's really easy to get overwhelmed in, like, Binding of Isaac and Gungeon and be like, I don't even know what the fuck that item does when I pick it up. Neon Abyss is like, I wish it told you before you picked it up, but once you pick it up, it does tell you what it is. And then at any point, you can press start and go back over and look and see what the item is and what it does and how it's going to affect you.
Yeah.
That's a big improvement, and I wish more of these games did that, because it can be incredibly difficult. There is a wiki out there with, like, all the items, but it only has the items that the game originally launched with on Steam. And so it's missing some of the items that are on the Xbox version. Like, I never did find out what the fuck the magic beans do.
They make you toot.
I never found out because I didn't pick them, because I couldn't find them on the list and didn't know what they did. They may have been a fantastic item, but who the fuck knows? So I do wish. I get why they don't. They want you to make the decision on the fly.
Experiment a little bit, maybe.
When you're just starting the game and you haven't picked up items, even if you could just, like, turn it on in the menu and then turn it back off later when you know what shit is and don't need it popping up on the screen all the time, given that option would be really helpful. But that would be something I would complain about with all games in this genre.
That's true,
and not just Neon Abyss. So, I mean, I don't in any way want to hold that against them. It's just an idea that, hey, if you're listening, maybe think about it.
I can agree with that, too.
But they do, for what is there, it is a little more helpful than a lot of others in the genre as far as telling you what you've got and where it's going. There are some super neat elements involved with there's crystals, and then there are these chests and these, I don't know quite what to call them.
Those red door things that turn, I don't know, there's this weird monster doors, right?
So what it is like, there's in certain rooms, it's not in every room, but in certain rooms, like, a little sacrifice orb will pop up. And you can give it a crystal or two, or you can shoot it, and then it turns evil, and you can give it blood.
Oh, right.
Eventually, if you get evil enough, you can even shoot doors and have them take blood instead of crystals. When you fill up your good versus evil meter, whatever the proper term for them is, the game doesn't outright say. Or I missed it because I'm dumb.
I don't remember it either.
But when you fill up the meter for that, then it'll tell you, there was something happened in another room, right? And you can teleport into that room and get a special item, either from the good side, or you can sacrifice your health, a heart container, and get three choices from the bad side. So there's definite risk and reward. The extra nice thing about it is that whichever side you're on in a level, the next level, you don't have to take that same risk.
Oh, yeah. So you're not screwed the whole time.
Yeah, one way. So if you want to, like, take the curse on one floor because you have an insane amount of health containers, then you can do that and not have to worry that if you've lost a lot of health on the next floor, you're not tied, your item isn't tied to that curse. You're back to equal footing, and you can decide whether you want to be a shithead or not.
yep.
I will say, though, that you definitely want to be careful, because if you're in a position where you really need to stay on the good side and not take a curse, don't hit those sacrifice orbs.
Yeah, which I definitely...
for the doors. Because the moment they're touched by a bullet, they're cursed, and that's that.
Yeah, they're evil, and they will kill you right away.
One of the things that I absolutely love about Neon Abyss is how much it caters to the audience of us older millennials who grew up in the late 80s and in the early 90s, while also still having like some relevant callbacks as well. There are so many items that are Avengers themed or from 80s and 90s movies, the jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Earlier on a run I was playing today, and I had Captain America's shield and a Stark module on my gun.
And surprised I was like, they got away with it.
They too. Don't call it. They don't call it Captain America. They do call it.
You know what it is? Module. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And it's definitely got that Iron Man aesthetic once you put it on your gun. Nice. But the shield looks like Captain America's shield, but it's not named that. I forget the specific name for it. It was like Super Shield or something like that. But like, you know immediately what it's supposed to be without it being something that can get them in trouble. It's you know, copyright gray area.
Oh, yeah.
But I love how it had all the different callbacks and stuff. And I was like, that's playing to my heart every time one of those pops up. I think there was even like a reference. I don't remember what it was, but I remember showing it to number one and being like, look, it's a 7 reference. And she was like, oh, yeah, I don't remember what it was. Something, it was like, it said, what's in the box or something like that. Oh, and it was hilarious. And I was like, I'm on board for all of this. Everything about it is fantastic.
Yep.
I would complain about it if there was anything to complain about, but as far as this genre goes, and point difficulty is what it is, Neon Abyss is definitely up there with titles like Gungeon and Binding of Isaac as being one of the better ones.
Yeah, I could agree with that for sure. The only thing I'm a little concerned about is, do you know how long the game is, aside from like, there's 5 levels, or maybe there's like secret or harder levels and stuff like that?
It just keeps going. After you hit level 5, it just keeps going until you die. It literally tells you when you start, death is the only way out. So it keeps going until you die.
I didn't know they meant that literally, like, okay.
Yeah, because of the way that it's generated and everything, it just keeps regenerating the floors until you're done. And the further you get, you can eventually beat it. I know I've seen game over screens where people have eventually beaten it with like one of the characters, and it's like, you gotta do it again. But I don't know, like, I think Shiz was on level 9 or 10 last night.
Wow.
So it's almost like a new game plus in a way.
Kind of, yeah, but I do know it. I've beat level 5, and I started level 6, and I died. Yeah, but I do know it. Level 5.
Whoa, we're getting a lot of noise from someone.
A little feedback there. And I died.
Yep.
Not quite sure.
I'm going to say,
that's a surly thing.
Come back.
That's what we think. Wow. No. That thought it stopped.
Is it coming from?
No, that's definitely from.
Is it coming from?
No, that's definitely from. Sorry.
Even have my mic on. Yeah, your shit's all fucked up. And I'm hearing myself. Wonderful.
Yeah, that's strange. I wonder if it's not actually her. Like, she leaves the call and sees if it's something else.
She left. It was her.
Okay. Well... All right.
I don't know if I should go on to the next review or if I should wait for her.
Well, we can wait and see if she going. She said her other laptop was just taking forever, so it will get there eventually. Probably. I hope. Maybe.
Yeah, we'll see. She's saying to wait, so maybe I'll just have to do a lot of editing this episode.
Ew.
Or you can just not edit it and leave this in so people can laugh at us.
Or you can just have Eternal talk about ooblets for the rest of the show.
Ooblet! Excuse me.
Oh, Lord.
That's how excited I got over ooblets. I gasped and gave myself a
guess. Yes.
Good job. Good job.
All right, fuck it. We're going to move on. Next game to talk about is called Neversong, developed and published by Serenity Forge, released July 16th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $14.99. Upon waking from a coma, Pete's girlfriend is nowhere to be found. Investigate the screams coming from the heart of the Neverwood, the increasingly bizarre behavior of the zombie grown-ups, and the strange truth about Pete's past in this hauntingly dreamlike fable. Cole, tell us about Neversong.
So you kind of covered most of it in the little snippet there, because anything else I say is going to be like spoiler territory. Neversong is a surreal
pancakes
kind of horror platformer. A lot of horror, actually. The more I think about it, it's definitely a little scarier. Not fear P level scary, but like, ooh, that's uncomfortable scary, you know? Where you are playing as a child, and Pete and Rin are best friends, and Pete sees Rin's kidnapping. And upon this kidnapping, Pete goes into a coma. When Pete comes out of the coma, he's determined to save Rin. And find out what has actually happened to her. And the problem is that following Rin's kidnapping, all of the adults in the town have also gone crazy. So in order to actually uncover what happened during your coma and find Rin and save her, you're going to have to solve some really weird puzzles. And the more you play the game, the wilder and more surreal and gross and just weird it gets, in like the most delightful of ways. Because it is a story surrounding kids.
Yeah.
So like it's Little Miss Fortune variety of uncomfortable and weird and surreal and horror, not necessarily like, oh, there's guts and gore, but there's one point where one of the boys has a condition where he just swells up and you have to go find his giant his mother's sewing needle and pop him because he's blocking your path to the sewers. And so you go and you find his mother's sewing needle and you pop him, and then you and him both fall down into the sewers. And so then he gets anxious and he puffs back up again. So you're trying to find an adult that is hiding in the sewers that has turned into a monster. And one of the other kids tells you, don't know why, but it reacts to sand. So you roll the swelled up fat kid through sand and pus to use him as bait to get the monster to come out so you can fight it with a baseball bat.
Okay.
Weird, but fucking unique.
Like, when you're in it, it all makes sense, you know? You're in this world and you're like, fuck it, anything could happen, sure, you know? And you're there for it. When you describe it to anybody else or tell them that you played it, they're going to stare at you like something's wrong. Like,
that's
you guys are
something
doing
clearly is.
This is what you guys are digitally doing to me right now. But that is the reaction that, you know, and that's how you feel when you're playing it. Even though it makes sense in the world that you're in, you're still just kind of like watching every bit of it. Like, is this really what's fucking happening right now? Is this where we are? Like, I have to roll the kid through pus and sand. And then if you accidentally roll him through water and he gets cleaned off and you got to roll him back through the pus and the sand again because he's got to be stanky to get this centipede's attention. Like, what the fuck? When you're playing, you're like, what the fuck am I doing? But you know that's what you're supposed to be doing. It's very weird. And like I said, it's very, very similar feeling to playing Little Miss Fortune. If you've played that, you already like, yeah, we put kids in games in some weird shit. And Neversong does not disappoint in that regard. It is a dark, grim story, though, and that's something to take into consideration. Like, if it bothers you to see kids in these kind of situations. And at times, there were moments where I was like, man, I don't know if I can hang in there for this, because this is harsh. Then that's something to take into consideration as well. The art is very paper doll cutout look. I absolutely love the art for Neversong.
Yeah, this one caught my eye also. I heard a lot of good things about it, too.
It's so grim. It's like, it's painfully pretty. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, it's not pretty in a traditional sense where, like, you're like flowers and shit. You're like,
right.
You get the sadness and the emotion of it just from looking at it, but you're like in a pretty kind of way. Mm-hmm. Except for the pus and the sand. I will forever be traumatized by that part. I can only imagine how much worse some of it is. I know some of it is worse, and I don't want to spoil anything beyond the pus and the sand. But whew, it's both grim and lovely and emotional for a story. And I think in part because it is children that are the focus of it, I don't think it would have the same emotional weight if it was focused around adults. You'd just be like, yeah, it's a dude going to save a girl. That's what games are, you know. But yeah. Because they're kids and you know, the main character has that weakness. I mean, he didn't just like fight back when she got kidnapped. He was like, fuck it, going into a coma. You know, it carries that kind of emotional weight. And like the game, there are other kids that are like, well, yeah, we couldn't expect you to do anything, right? Could we? There you are. So it carries out throughout the whole story where you're shouldering the burden of his fuck up just from the get go. I absolutely loved it. It's not a very long game, but it is one that definitely sticks with you emotionally, and the story will stay with you. If you can get past the pus.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of like Limbo from what I've seen of it. Is that kind of how it is? Like puzzle platformer kind of?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that same kind of gameplay.
Nice.
Especially with the puzzle element. There is some combat. You know, like I said, you got a baseball bat. You can whack shit. I mostly used it to whack pumpkins because I thought that was more fun than anything else I could whack. I do want to know who was going behind me and replacing all those light bulbs I busted, though, from scene to scene. If all the adults went poof, who was changing the light bulbs?
Oh, no, Lord.
So unbelievable. Just ruined my immersion. No. But I had a fantastic time with it. It's a wonderful game, but it is grim and dark, and it's not for everybody.
Well, then your verdict for $15.
I'm gonna roll with a buy it, but just take into consideration what the content of the game is.
Sounds good. Also, so good if you hate is us,
then don't buy it.
No time otherwise, dropping buy it. More biddies. Thank you. No time
dropping bits.
Thank you, George. All right. Do we have a Surly?
Present.
Yay! And we don't have a lot of noise. That is good.
Yay.
Oh, well, I haven't been talking for that long.
Ha. All right, next game to talk about is called Radical Rabbit Stew, developed by Pugstorm, published by Sold Out, released July 16th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $15.99. Radical Rabbit Stew is a hair-raising action arcade puzzle game, perfect for new players and 16-bit retro fans alike. Get your super spoons ready and whack those crazy rabbits into saucepans to free the space chefs that think fast or the bunnies will attack. Surly, tell us about this one.
Oh. Okie dokie. So, Radical Rabbit Stew, which I will shorten to RRS because try saying that three times fast. It is a 16-bit puzzle game. It is not a brawler. It is not a platformer. It's a fucking puzzle game, which is fine. But it doesn't look like a puzzle game when you start out. Didn't look like a puzzle game when I, you know, was researching it, but it doesn't matter. You play as the cleanup boy. So at the beginning of the game, the space chefs, they're like, we're making all this great food and it's yummy. And there's a rabbit queen and she is jealous of the space chefs because all she's eating is bland, tasteless ass veggies. And she wants to eat the delicious space chef food. So she sends her bunny minions to kidnap the space chefs. And you, as the cleaning boy, who doesn't have a name, which makes me upset. He needs a name. Anyways, you escape, and you are armed with a wooden spoon. So you have to travel through space, a very Super Mario World island type mapping situation. Think that. Through each of the levels to save your space chefs and defeat the evil bun buns. So they don't look evil. They're quite evil. Oh no, they're just bunnies. I just call them bun buns because they're
cute. Even better. They should have called them bun buns.
They should have called the bun buns. The bun buns are evil though, and if you get caught by a bun bun, it actually eats you.
Nice.
And the animation for that. Okay. The animation for that is actually really, really disturbing. Because it's still 16-bit and the colors are actually really, really nice in this game, very vibrant. But you're getting chomped to death by a bunny. And it will do a couple of things once it chops you. It will send out a heart, which is really funny. It will burp up your chef's hat and then wear the hat, or it'll wink at you. And I don't know how I feel about that because on one hand, that's really cute. And on the other hand, you just ate me. So, but the wooden spoon is your weapon of choice. And what you have to do in order to defeat each level is you have to whack the bun buns with your wooden spoon, which stuns them, and then you have to whack them again to send them into a pot and cook them. So,
good stuff.
This game is very meta on several levels, but it's all done in a really, really cute way. So as long as you don't think about it, you're all right, I suppose. But I had a lot of fun with this game. Oh, we should talk about the music. The music's great. It is stellar. It is upbeat and retro. It puts you right into the action. I really, really enjoyed it. The gameplay is also pretty damn tight. The controls are comfortable. They all make sense. And it's pretty minimal. You just have to, you know, whack the bun buns and move around. There are some really interesting game mechanics. For example, you can whack the bun buns. And then if there's like a space in front of you, if you whack the bun bun will just go until it hits something. Because after all, you are in space. So I guess the law of aerodynamics or whatever the fuck that law is where it says an object in motion will stay in motion apply it here. So the bun buns will keep going till they hit something, which is actually bad for you, because if you have like two bun buns that you have to put in the pot and you hit a bun bun off the level, well, you've now failed the level and you have to start over.
Oh, you fucked up.
Yeah. Like you done goofed. Also, you can kill yourself in these levels because they don't all have walls. You know, there's just space. So if you can literally walk off a level and kill yourself. In the beginning of the game, you start off with one life. So if you mess up, you start over in any way. If you get eaten, if you fall off, if you whack a bun bun and it goes bye-bye.
How do you get extra lives?
Aha! I'm so glad you asked. So there are, in the little islands, there are special stock pot islands, and that's how you get your level ups. So you start off with a wooden spoon, the next level up is an extra life, and then the next level up after that is a silver spoon. The silver spoon is pretty awesome. You charge up the silver spoon and it does a 360 degree arc. It's not an arc, it's a circle, around you that stuns about two squares around you, which is really good for dispatching several bun buns all at once. Also, there are different variations of bun buns. You have ye old normal bun buns, and then you have the massive bun buns who are asleep. And when they are asleep, they are immune to your wooden spoon whack. So you only can move them with the silver spoon. The only thing that's cool about those bun buns is the regular bun buns, if they see you, they'll come and get you. The big bun buns, they're in a food coma, so they don't move unless you hit them with the wooden spoon. And once you hit them, they just kind of wake up and go, what the fuck, and go back to sleep. Yeah. I did reach the first boss in the game, and I was pretty excited that I reached him, but he's bullshit. So the first boss is actually, and it's so cute, it's a dog dressed up as a bun bun. Oh my God. So cute. And he's in the middle of a platform, and there are 8 train tracks that come your way. So what you have to do is you have to charge up your silver spoon to whack the trains that are conducted by bun buns and have like vegetables on them and stuff until there are no more trains, and then it defeats the boss somehow. But the only problem is your character moves very, very slowly. So you can't move out of the train's path all that quickly, and they'll run you over and kill you. Also, random bun buns will spawn, and they have about 2 seconds of invulnerability while they're spawning, but they'll still come after you, so you get eaten by the bun buns as well.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
That being said, as I said, I really, really liked this game. The achievements are hilarious. There was one achievement that's literally like, hey, you made a bun bun explode. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. It was great. I wouldn't say that the achievements are super hard to get. There were a couple where I was like, not getting that, because it was like, hey, can you finish the game in under 2 hours? Achievement. Can you finish the game in under 1 hour? Achievement. Can you finish the game without dying? Achievement. I'm like, well, nope, not doing that. Can you defeat the boss without dying? Nope. Not doing that.
to be fair here, I looked at true achievements and there's nobody that completed it. Even though it came out only yesterday, I mean, some people might have had review copies as well.
No.
They still nobody that even beat the game yet. I just saw no one even has to complete the game, let alone beat it in under 2 hours or beat it without dying.
Damn, so this is a tough one.
That is correct. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to say that it's tough. I'm just going to say that, I mean, the game just came out today.
True. So we'll see.
We'll see what happens. But yeah, I could not progress past the first boss, but I'm going to beat him. It's going to happen.
Well, overall, $16. I need a verdict.
I'm quiet because I personally think 16's a bit much, but I really enjoyed it, and I would just go ahead and say buy it anyway.
Works for me. And nice. No time. Thank you for the 4 biddies.
Drop it, bits!
Thank you, George. All right, Surly, Scott, are you two going to stick around, or did you two want to head out?
I'm sure. Good. Just stick around.
All right, next game to talk about is called Hashtag Fun Time, developed by One Guy Games, published by the Quantum Astrophysicists Guild, released July 16th on Xbox One and Switch for $14.99. Fun Time is an explosive twin-stick shooter where shooting isn't your only weapon. Fun Time combines traditional twin-stick shooting with a unique coloring mechanic. Fast and fun gameplay will have you coming back again and again. Cole, tell us about Fun Time.
Am I nuts in thinking that this is from the Geometry Wars dev?
Yes. No, it's not from them.
It's not. It's
definitely inspired by them.
It's very similar. Very much. I've never played Geometry Wars, but the I know.
Kick her
I
off.
Know. But the moment I saw it, I was like, that looks like everything I've seen.
Geometry Wars. I agree.
So I was very in line there. Mm-hmm. It is a twin stick shooter. You have a little ship and you are on different grids. You have a couple of different modes that you can play. There's a challenge mode with, I think there's 54.
Yeah, a lot of modes.
A ton of different challenges. You're not going to 3-star them all. I don't care what the fuck that achievement is.
I will, eventually.
Well, that's the achievements are. I was like, oh, look, few achievements is a twin stick. I'm going to get this. And then I started playing and I think it was like level 8 where I started getting 2-stars instead of 3. I was like, fuck this, I'm out.
Yeah, I hear you. Just want to experience this, you know, being levels first and then go back. That makes sense, though.
This suddenly got hard. I'm no longer a fan. And then there's
Are
the
arcade. Are you shiz?
Oh. Yeah, basically. Could have been playing Oobles. Everything is very bright, neon, it's flashy, it's gorgeous. It's very simple. It's such a simple concept of, oh, look, here's some triangles flying at you. Fucking, I don't know what it is about every one of these twin stick shooter games where you got a ship and there's triangles. Fuck triangles.
Fuck geometry.
I forget what the other one was that I played a while ago where I was like, fucking triangles, just... I think
There's been a couple.
One with the mothership in the bottom, and you had to save the mothership, and there were triangles that come out, and they were like everything else was fine until the fucking triangle showed up, and the same thing happens in Hashtag Fun Time. Everything's fine and dandy until there's triangles, and it's just like I've just decided I don't like triangles.
This tangent brought to you by triangles.
Fuck them. Anyway, yeah, you shoot shit. There's a few extra little nuances involved. Mm-hmm. You can change the color of your ship using the face buttons on your controller. If you press Y, it turns your ship yellow. If you press B, it turns it red. If you press A, it turns it green. If you press 6, it turns it blue. It's magic. But the reason behind this is that A, if something hits you and it's the same color as you, it doesn't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And B, if something hits the color trail you're leaving behind and it's the same color as that trail, it A, gets blown up, and B, you get triple points for it.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
That's fancy.
It also reminded me of like Ikaruga when they had the color switching mechanics and stuff in that shmup.
I don't remember
if you played Ikaruga, but I'm sure Joe is familiar with it.
Yeah, I remember. I think I 1K'd it.
Well, I didn't even 200. No. It was very hard completion. I didn't do that
Maybe
one.
I didn't. I know I played it.
Yeah.
I think I played it.
Anyway,
fun time.
Yeah, fun time. Is fun time a fun time?
It is, though. And this is one of those weeks where I just had a bunch of games land on me, and I enjoyed them all. They were all in the types of genres where I'm like, fuck yeah, this is life. And I was happy with all of them. And fun time, no exception. It was like I was constantly trying to go, I don't know which one to play because I'm enjoying them all, which is good. until you have a time limit on how long you have to play shit. And then you got a problem.
Drop it! Definitely.
When you're doing the challenges, obviously, it's just like, you know, survive X amount of time or don't get hit X amount of times. They have a good variety there. When you're playing the arcade mode, you actually, it's more of like a... They, again, even arcade mode breaks down like their survival, which is the one I constantly play because that's just the way I like to play these games. But then there was, you know, timed and a couple other options that I don't even remember because I was focused on survival.
They have a lot of content.
I was like, I have to play that so I can talk about it. And then I was like, I don't remember playing it because I wanted to play survival.
Yeah, I don't really know which is like the meat of the game. Like, the, you could look at it different ways because you could spend a lot of time in survival and just try to get as far as you can, or you can focus on the level, like the challenges or other modes.
Yeah, because there's wave based, and then you know, like I said, timed and stuff. So there's plenty of different options to where you can play the game any way you want.
Exactly.
To play in it. If you are in arcade mode, you actually your score converts into cash. And then at the end, when you die, that all gets piled up together and you can actually go into a store and buy upgrades for your ship so that when you try the next time, you get a little further. Which is, it's nice. It gives it a little bit of a roguelike element, if you will, without being like, this is an all ungodly difficult roguelike.
Sense of progression.
You do get to keep whatever upgrades you buy between runs. So, for example, you can buy extra health, you can buy extra bombs, which clear out, you know, all of the bullets in the area. My favorite thing, I didn't care how many times I died. I saved all my money right off the bat for friendship. I love friendship. It's so ridiculous because it gives you another little gear looking ship that flies around beside of you and shoots shit for you. And I was like, nothing else matters as long as I have my little friend. I love that they just call it the friendship. It's just so goofy. I was like, I didn't even buy the ability to get extra points by changing my colors until I had friend.
The friendship. That reminds me of Behemoth. I think it was a game in, I would think that was a ship in, what was it, Battle Block Theater, I think?
Maybe.
The friendship. Yeah. It was like a boat and they called it the friendship. And it's a pun too, but yeah. It wasn't me this time.
I absolutely was tickled just by the very concept. I was like, boy, I wish I had him in all the challenges because it would make my life so much easier. But yeah, it's one of those games that it's such a simple concept. Like there, it's not over the top in art. It's not over the top in, you know, gameplay mechanics. And yet somehow there's still so much meat there to actually spend your time with in the game. And you can just load it up and play it for 5 or 10, 15, 20 minutes, do a run or two, and then put it away and go play something else. And then you're like, I need a break. I need a change of pace. Load up hashtag fun time and go get your change of pace on. You know, it does get super fast. It does get super stressful to play it. So it's like, don't play it as like, oh, I'm just going to casually kick my feet up and not care. No, you're going to get pissed when you die and you might rage.
Yep.
But you're going to have fun while you're doing it. And I think that's the most important part. Fun's right there in
exactly,
the game.
Exactly. Name of the game.
They have a high bar. Like, do you deserve to call yourself Fun Time? And the answer is, Yeah.
I gotta say also, they did a really good job. I don't know if you saw the trailer of the game as well. I know Joe saw it and it's hilarious, amazing.
Yeah.
Like just action packed and funny.
Yeah. And I mean, that's
good it's
a good stuff. Trailer because it's very fitting for the game that it's just, you know, snap your fingers, go shoot this, move from that, you know, dash over here, hit the bomb. But at the same time, like, you can just kind of mindlessly do it and have a good time with it all the same.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. That's because you could do that, or you could even look at the leaderboards. There are leaderboards, which is cool, the replay value. So if you want to go for high scores, you can. If not, you just, you know, enjoy it like you were saying, play for fun.
Well, Look for like Scott on the leaderboards.
I'm not quite there yet. I wanted to get on that game more than I did so far, but hopefully soon enough, I will be on the leaderboards.
Well,
but I go ahead.
I was going to say $15 on it. What are your thoughts?
I think $15 is a bargain. Like I said, I did not expect it. When I saw, okay, challenge in arcade, I was like, okay, there's going to be a set of challenge levels and there might be like 10 or 12. And then there might be like one type of arcade mode where it's just survival or whatever. To go in and see all those options and all the different ways that you can play such a simple game really blew me away. And I think it more than justifies the price of it.
I would definitely agree. This is a must buy, in my opinion. As much as a twin stick shooter fan, well, we both are, but
yeah,
I think all of us here.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to pick this one up.
I want to say too, in a lot of twin sticks, especially these top downs with a spaceship, like they start you off and you're so sluggish and you're so slow and you gotta upgrade this and upgrade that to have any kind of fire speed. And this game's like, fuck that, blow everything away.
Yeah.
Like, the moment you hit that trigger, you're like,
fun time engaged.
And you're like, yes.
Yeah.
And I am so grateful for it. I hate when they start you off slow and make you wait forever to have any kind of fire rate.
It's funny you mentioned that because the original Geometry Wars, you would not like the first 5 or 10 minutes. It's literally that. And dumb triangles that you shoot that don't do anything. Well, the triangles actually in that game are not that bad. So you can get your revenge
triangles.
On them. There you go. Eternal. Go play Geometry Wars. You can get revenge on
motherfucking triangles. Yep.
But this is definitely seems like an awesome game too. Fun time.
Awesome. So fun time is a fun time.
Indeed.
Good times.
Yes.
Next game to talk about is called Res Please, developed by Long Neck Games, published by Graffiti Games, released July 15th on Xbox One, Switch, and PC for $14.99. Take control of two wizard brothers who possess the power of resurrection in a gorgeous pixel art world. Solve puzzles, platforming challenges, and encounter dangerous monsters and traps that will require you to kill one of the brothers to advance. Single player and local co-op included. Cole, what is Res Please?
So that's pretty much it. It is a pixel art 2D platformer, and you do control two brothers who have stayed out at the bar the night before a big test, and one of them gets killed during the test, and so it was like, no, you had to do it. Now I've revived you, and everything's fine, and. It's convoluted and it's weird setup, but you're like, okay, fine, I'm here for it. But that boils down to every puzzle while they're recovering from being rezzed because Res Please, the world like shits the bed and there's monsters and bad things have happened. And now you gotta go save the world. But every puzzle that you come across is gonna require a dead body to get through it. So every time you go through, you're like, who am I going to kill so I can accomplish this? And then you just throw one of the brothers on the spikes and hope for the best. The thing is that you have the ability to revive, one, you know, the whichever brother doesn't get sacrificed to the spikes, can be revived by the other. Just the simple, if you're playing single player, you just press Y. It's probably the same in two player mode. I actually didn't play in two player. My kids have had a lot of shit going on and I don't want to deal with them right now. So I didn't want to play the game with them. I'm like,
I was going to play two player mode, but my kids are assholes. So fuck them.
I was like, nah, it's Pokemon DLC recently came out. They got Breath of the Wild recently. I can't get them away from the Switch to do literally anything else. So here we are. I played this by myself.
Goddamn kids.
I would say that playing it by yourself is definitely the weaker way to play Res Please. Because you, when you're playing solo, you have to control both characters.
Yeah.
And in a lot of games where you have a two-character play and one of them, you know, has to, like, dawdle behind while you're controlling one, a lot of times, like, they give that character some kind of AI movement so that, like, you can at least have it keep up with you. Res Police does not. And so if you get ahead of it, of one of the other characters, then you have to press Y and you have to go back and rerun that whole area you just did. It's often not a big area, but that's still just a pain in the ass. I don't like having to cross the same area twice just to get to the next puzzle. It's just an unfortunate thing when it kind of takes you out of the moment and breaks up the gameplay a little too much for my liking as a single player. If you're playing it two player, doesn't fucking matter. You're both going to run at the same time. But if you're playing it by yourself, you're like, got to take one character, got to go all the way back, get the other character and bring them along now.
No.
Yeah. Seems focused on multiplayer, like co-op.
It definitely is. Even though that single player option is there, it doesn't fucking want you to do it. Now, when you are playing, like I said, you have to almost always sacrifice one of the brothers to move along. And then you have three Lazarus stones. And you use up your Lazarus stones every time you have to revive one of the brothers. So you have to be careful because you can't just like haphazardly throw somebody into lava while you're trying to figure out the puzzle. Or if you make a misclick and jump, somebody dies and then you can't finish out the puzzle because you don't have enough stones. Usually before you have a puzzle, there will be a stone you can pick up. But if you run out, you're going to have to press start and restart.
There's also an option in the menu.
Calm down, Aki. I'm getting there. Yes, there is an infinite option in the menu. So if you want it to be a little easier, you don't have to worry about stones. You can go into the menu and turn on infinite stones and then not have to worry about that.
That's the best way to play it.
If you want the chance, if you're playing it alone, fuck it. You're going to need to turn on the infinite stones. Excuse me, sir. There's a cat licking his butt in front of me. But yeah, you're definitely going to want to turn on infinite if you're playing it alone. Now, if you're playing it two-player, you're a little more able to suck it up and take on the task of trying to do it the hard way. But one person alone, just save yourself the headache, okay?
No.
Thank goodness they even included that option, because I did not expect to see it. When I clicked it, I was like, oh, this is so much better.
The question is,
I wouldn't have finished the game if that wasn't there.
I don't think you could, as a single player, finish the game without infinite stones.
You could, because the puzzles don't change.
I'm sure there's people who are ridiculous enough to do it. I'm not that person.
And you still get achievements, is the question.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So, shout out to that. At least it doesn't punish you in any way.
I think it does a little bit. At least it seemed to when I played it. It seemed
drop
like I couldn't get above
like,
when I used infinite.
I don't know if it includes the ranks. I didn't even pay attention to the rankings. I was just like, that's a thing, and moved on because I don't give a fuck. When a game has rankings, I'm like, okay. And carry on, because otherwise I can get obsessive and not do anything else.
Yeah, I don't remember if there was any achievements for that or not, but
not sure. Because again, ranks don't
solo
care.
And doesn't not a good mix.
Fuck that. But that is something that if you do care about that kind of stuff, that's something to take into consideration, because you probably can't get higher rankings as a solo person. I'm sure there's somebody out there willing to prove me wrong. Don't give a fuck.
Of course,
you're an anomaly. You're an anomaly, and you don't exist to me.
Yep, earn an S rank on all levels. There's an achievement for that. And
fuck that.
You have to play
achievement.
You have to play co-op in order to get that. You're not going to be able to move fast enough, because it takes into consideration how fast you move. If you found there's a secret in every level that you can find, and how few deaths you have in it.
Wow.
You can't, and the way you control this is you switch from one character to the other to move.
Yeah.
So
like if you have to do an alley up where, you lift somebody up over a higher ledge, you have to control one character and then press the trigger. And then it swaps you to the other character, and then you have to move that character toward the other one to run and jump up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a whole lot of swapping back and forth. And a lot of times I found I would fuck myself up because there's a little Scully character, okay? Mm-hmm. And it looks like a firefly. And it goes back and forth between whichever character you're using. So if you're using the brother in blue, little Scully is, well, I'm not saying that word again. I know y'all heard it. Then he turns blue. And if you're using the brother in green, then it goes over to him and turns green. And yet still, no matter what I did, I could never train myself to that. And I would pull the trigger and press Y to swap. And then I'd be right back where I started from with the other brother. And I'd be like, son of a bitch, that didn't do me any good at all.
Proud of you.
I got to do it again, over and over and over. And it's not conducive to being productive.
Yeah, the game, like, the game does muscle memory. It teaches you. Mm-hmm. You push Y to switch the character. So when you do any of the other things that automatically switch it, you're already trained to push Y immediately. But that doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does want you to work on that muscle memory, and it only wants you to be worried about carrying on for one character.
Yeah.
So if you got somebody to play it with you, that's fantastic. But if you don't, good fucking luck.
Yeah, and there's no online multiplayer, right?
No, so, I don't think there is any online.
Damn. Well,
that's a shame.
It's $15, so I need a verdict from you, Cole.
I'm gonna roll with a try. It's not bad. It's just that if you're alone, it's not ideal.
Yeah, it just punishes single players.
Yeah, and I think it's just far better suited for somebody who has co-op that's consistent and actually good at games and not a 7.
Yeah, I like the game too. I thought it was pretty fun.
Cool. All right. Well, next game to talk about is called We Should Talk, developed by Insatiable Cycle, published by Whitethorn Digital, released July 16th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and Steam for $6.99. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. We Should Talk is a short-form narrative game that will make you think carefully about the words you choose. Can your relationship survive the night? Cole, did it?
Well, one time, yes, but also it ended up in a menage a trois with the bartender.
Okay.
What?
Yeah. And then the next time, I purposely sabotaged it because I wanted to see a different ending. And that was rude. So here's the thing. We Should Talk focuses on a character, a female character, I guess. Yeah. Female character. I guess it's kind of a gender neutral character. They don't expressly say girl, I don't think. Shit, I don't know. I played it twice and there's like 6 different endings and I still don't even remember if my character was female or not. I'm pretty sure they were.
Good job.
I decided they were either way. anyway, you're in a relationship with a female named Sam. And you have a tendency to go out and hang out at the bar a lot. And Sam's not okay with this. So while you are hanging out at the bar, you get to interact with a couple of different people as well as Sam via text. And the way that you frame your sentences for your responses determines how they respond and how the game ultimately ends up. Your first encounter is with the bartender and you got to order a drink. So you can order, I think the first time I did it, I ordered a whiskey on the rocks in 5 shot glasses. Just because I could. The next time I ordered a grenadine and a soda straight or something like that. There's usually 2 to 3 different options that you can choose from on each wheel. And then there's usually 2 to 3 wheels that you can manipulate in the pink box to get the options to line up to make the sentence for the response. So in one instance, my girlfriend asked if I want to go on a date to the gym. And your options are like the gym, or fuck no, I don't want to go sweat around other people, you know, or like, yeah, that sounds romantic. So you can even give mixed singles, mixed responses, where you can be like, really? At the gym? Fuck yeah, let's do it. You know, and you're like, you can give some real mixed signals here and really fuck with that relationship to get where you're going. At one point, I was both flirting and telling my ex to fuck the fuck off, just to see what would happen. Because like I said, there are so many different endings that the way that you can piece it together really just gets wild. I really, really enjoyed the game. It's very short. I think my first playthrough was like 15 or 20 minutes. And it goes quickly. It's a one-off. And then you're like, okay, but I got to see, what if I had chose something else?
And oh, yeah, multiple endings.
The payoff is very much in playing through. Like, there were a couple of the options I was choosing, and D is like looking over my shoulder going, what are you saying? And I'm like, look, I already saw what could ultimately just be the best ending when you get to have a menage a trois with a bartender. So clearly I'm fucking this up just so I can. He's like, that's not shit you would normally choose in a game. I'm like, yeah, because I want to see a different ending because I got to talk about it. And I can't just be on there talking about how I got to have a lesbian three-way with a bartender, okay? So
I mean, you could.
I could. It doesn't show anything. It's just like, you just see three pairs of legs and feet sticking down, and it's very much like, so you got to have a relationship, you know, a more open relationship. Because ultimately, the whole premise is neither one of you are particularly happy in the relationship, and so you need to talk, and you need to decide, is the relationship worth saving or not? But the choices you make guide you along as to whether or not you ultimately decide yes or no. Very easy achievements. I'm really surprised nobody's thrown out a guide for it yet.
I heard one thing about it that they might be easy, but I think there's a few broken ones, but the dev is already working on a patch apparently, yeah, from what I heard.
There's definitely some that I was like, I know I did that.
Yes. Yeah, so it's good they're aware of it and they'll probably fix it, hopefully.
So I would fully expect a patch, but if you played One Night Stand, I feel a little bad comparing anything to a Radalica game. just because it has a reputation. But if you played, I did like One Night Stand though. But if you played One Night Stand and you know how like you had the different options for the different endings, it's very similar in that regard. Whereas like how you interact with the different people that you chat with as your character over the course of the night frames how it ends in the end. But I definitely recommend breaking out of your comfort zone and seeing some of those different endings at the same time.
Cool. We should talk.
Even if it leads to your significant other standing over your shoulder, being concerned about what you're choosing.
Hey, everyone has to get awkward stares sometime, right?
I get more than my share at this point. I've been married to him for almost 20 years. I don't know how he's got any awkward stares left.
Well, this one obviously caused some. So for $6.99, what's your verdict?
Oh, it's easy. At that price, it's good quality. The story is actually really well written. There are plenty of options. It's an easy buy it.
Cool.
Yeah.
And it's $6.99. So, yeah.
Hanging up now. Bye.
Oh, you can't hang up yet because we're about to get naughty. It is time for SML After Dark.
Yay.
Ooh.
We already had a lesbian threesome at the bar.
I know. If I would have known that, I would have included this in SML After Dark.
Yeah, I wasn't ready for it when it happened either.
I would say that was a perfect segue into After Dark.
It was a perfect sex way.
Sex. Everyone's going to hang up.
See,
now.
Serlina is the she's with me. She's with me. We got puns. See,
I'm an excellent wing woman. I know how to set things up.
I'm depressed now.
So am I. Next game to talk about is called Hentai Mosaic Fix-It Shop. Developed and published by Lil Hentai Games. It released July 2019 on Steam for $1.99. All the attractive girls want to recover photos from their broken mobile phones, and they need your help. Relaxing puzzle-solving experience with elements of RPG, 50 unique rotating mosaic puzzles, 10 unique abilities to unlock. Aki, tell us about this one.
Thank God. This one, the last few I've been like, they're not exactly my type. This one has some story to it. Granted, it's, you know, porn plot thick, but, you know, hey, it's still fucking story. It's fucking something, damn it. So I'm for it. So there's a few girls that have broken their phones various ways, and they need you to fix their phone and try to recover their corrupted photos. And each one basically introduces you to the next girl. All of them have different jobs that they supposedly do. Not that anyone gives a fuck. And basically, after every one of the puzzles you solve, one, you get the photo, obviously, and then you also have this little interaction with them. You don't get to choose anything, but still, it's a little bit. You text them, you're like, okay, here's the photo that I get, and they're always like, okay, get the next one. And then sometimes they're like, oh, this is a bit embarrassing. And you're like, oh, then maybe I should quit. They're like, no, you keep going. So like your character gets a little weirded out. They're like, oh, well, this is kind of embarrassing to be getting these kinds of pictures to send to you. And sometimes the girls are like, yeah, but I want them anyways. Don't be too embarrassed by it.
Giggle,
it's fine.
Giggle.
Exactly. Yeah, it's...
So you're talking all this gameplay stuff. That's clearly not what's important in this game. Tell us about the good stuff.
Okay. The girls are all, well, for the most part, they're cute. I've only unlocked three of them so far because I got into playing another one of them that I'm also talking about today. and there's a... There's a lot of photos in this one, significantly more than I think any two or even three other games combined even, mostly because they gave out a pack for free. It was an update for the game that gave you Halloween stuff, and things like that. So they've added a bunch to it.
Spooky titties?
I wouldn't call them spooky, but they're nice. I don't think there's a such thing as a spooky titty.
I can argue that there are.
Well, yeah, I got, you know, I guess that is true.
Carry on.
Now my brain is focused on spooky titties, and now
I'm... Oh, Jesus. Anyway, carry on.
As long as there are no pus titties, right?
Oh.
Puss and sand.
Oh.
I just don't have anything anymore. You guys won. I think it still has, in this one, it still has too many fucking upgrades. They haven't quite gotten through the concept of you don't need 15 or whatever fucking upgrades. You only need a few to do the damn job, which is a shame. But they figure that out eventually, I promise, because that wasn't the case in the very first one that I reviewed. But some of these are, I think a couple of these are also actually from the added update to it, the Halloween pack. But yeah, the plenty of titties, plenty of pussy all over the place. It's fantastic. And I don't believe any of these are censored either. No, they are not.
You know, she took all the screenshots.
Actually, it gives you screenshots every time you solve one of the puzzles.
In color me surprised.
Games. Yeah, in all
I doubt
of
that
games.
We would get that on Xbox, though.
Oh, God, no.
I mean, the closest we got was Metropolis. Remember that one? That was the closest we'd probably get to something
I never
like that.
Got to play that game, which is a shame.
Gems of porn, as I call it.
Gems of porn.
Yeah. But in all these games, after you finish one of the photos, and not just the dirty ones, all of them, there's a photos option that, and you can just scroll through all the pictures that you've finished the puzzles for. So yes, I did just go through the photos. So, yeah, I just went through because I was I don't remember if they're edited or if they're censored or not, and no, they are not at all.
Even stuff. So $2 on this one, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's worth it. I mean, if you've heard all of these games and you're like, okay, that seems interesting, obviously you want to buy them. If you're like, oh, this is fucking disgusting, then I don't know why you're still listening because you knew what was coming.
Yeah, and especially
I'm
because
still listening because Joe makes me be here.
Sucks to be you then, now don't it?
Enjoy it, because we got one more to go, which is called Hentai Mosaic Neku Waifus, developed and published by Little Hentai Games, released July 27th on Steam, or no, not July, January 27th on Steam for $1.99, my bad. Hentai puzzler, microvisual novel with a sprinkle of RPG, all the Neko girls in town heard about you, now they can finally meet you. Aki, they finally get to meet you. What happens?
They're all skanks.
Sweet.
The visual novel aspect of this is not the fun one that was in the second one. Instead, it's all just, you know, they speak to you and you sit there. The cat got your tongue. Yeah, that was a bad one. But I don't care. It's better than all of them Scotty does. I don't know.
Blue Blitz is still probably the worst of the night.
That was the best. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, Neku Waifus. Tell us about it.
And that one's actually surprisingly small.
That's what she said.
Yeah, when looking at your crotch, I know. Yeah.
We're so close to the end of this show. Please, let's just do this last one.
To the climax. Let's go.
This shit's okay, almost done. It's been 2.5 hours. I want to finish this the fuck.
Okay, there's four groupings for this one. Three individual cat girls and two of them getting freaky together, which is always fantastic. There's, I think, 9 photos for each grouping, with the last three being the 18 plus DLC, which is free because of course it is. I don't even know why it's DLC and just not part of the game like all the other ones were, but whatever. Story exists in it as well. It might as well not exist at all because it doesn't make any fucking sense. The girls are all like, hey, yeah, just bring me up to your home. And then they try on tons of different clothing and then less clothing and then significantly less clothing. And well, you get where I'm going with that. They've cut back on the upgrades a lot. Think buck. They've gotten it down to where it's pretty much just the ones you actually need instead of all the other crap, which is great. So this one I really liked for that. It also introduced the girls actually moving in the picture, which I really like that as well, because it just makes solving it a little easier, because then you have areas that normally wouldn't have anything in it, so you just have to keep clicking on it until, oh, it's finally right this time. But because they're moving, a part of one of their tails or their hand or their foot or whatever will go into that square, even if it's just for a second or two, to help you orientate a little better.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah. So I really like this. These two were I really like. So, yeah.
Nice. So $2 on it.
Totally worth it if you're into these types of games. And if you're listening to this, you're a pervert, and you probably are.
Good stuff.
Nice.
All right. Well, that is it. We made it through.
Huh. Huzzah!
Huzzah, indeed. Aki, thanks for being here. Scott, thanks for being here. Surly, thanks for being here.
It's especially thanks to all of us, but Scotty, because not only are we here, we put up with him.
Put up with my puns.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Hey, I didn't interrupt Eternal this time, did I? Maybe I did.
Yes,
yeah, you did.
Not as bad as that other time I was on.
No, you did. It's fine. It's fine.
It's all good. It's sure all good. It was,
I interrupted her this time, too. I feel
bad. Yeah. I don't feel so bad anymore.
Well, you should feel
I'm like
bad.
The perfect guest because I don't interrupt. I let people
because
say what they need
everyone
say.
Loves Serlina because she can get away with the puns. I can't.
Well, except for that time that the microphone got all fucked up and we just heard.
Oh.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that time, do we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, of course we don't need to talk about it, because part of Cole's review was interrupted by that for, like, 15 seconds.
I don't even know what y'all are talking about, like, it was, for real, though.
It was exactly enough time for her to talk about Ooblets some more.
Yeah,
no, perfect. She was in the middle of one of her reviews. happened.
That's so true.
There's going to be a big old chunk of her reviews that's just going to
yes. Oh, it was during Neon Abyss. Did we ever give Neon Abyss a verdict?
No.
We just holy basically shit. Said
we both enjoyed it a lot, and we were basically, I guess, you know, that meant
you
by it. I guess
jumped to the next one.
Yeah, exactly, but pretty much by it. I think we both agreed on that, right, Eternal?
Yeah, and it's on Game Pass.
That's right. Pass. We didn't even mention Game Pass. Like,
on
how
both,
the hell did we
on
all
both
miss
PC
that?
And console.
And you could stack the achievements on top of it, too.
I swear it was on Game Pass. Okay.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. Well, that is it for this episode. We made it through another one. Does anyone have any final words to end the show?
Sandy pustule titties.
Jesus.
Don't play Ooblets already, fucking Eternal.
Bye.